From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report. It is the 26th day of February 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Matt Bennett from Channel Seeds will join us to take a look at the cash grain market. We'll discuss the weather forecast, too, that with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And along the way today, we'll take a look at SCO, our supplemental coverage option. It's part of crop insurance if and only if you sign up for the PLC farm program. And it all happens right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's take a look at the numbers now as they finished up in Chicago on this Thursday afternoon. March corn at $3.80, up 4 1/4 for the day. The May at 388.5, 4 3/4 higher. In July at 396.5, up 4 3/4. December corn, $4.13 3/4. It finished 4 3/4 higher. And the March contract of next year, that's 2016, at $4.22.5, up 4.5 cents. Soy complex now. Bean futures, they finished at $10.24, up 16 1/4. The May at 10.26.5, 15 3/4 higher. July soybeans, $10.30, up 14 3/4. November at $9.97.5, up 10 1/4. And January, 10 1/4 higher at $10.25, or rather $10.02.5. And the bean meal for the day finished at $3.54.60. That's up $4.10. The bean oil at $31.84, up 13 cents. Soy complex, or rather Chicago wheat futures, at $5.03 1/4, up 5.5 cents. In the March, July at $5.04 3/4, up 3 cents. The Kansas City wheat at $5.27 1/4 finished a penny lower, but the July harvest month at $5.38 1/4 was up 2 cents for the day. Live cattle futures at $149.85, up $3. That's the limit at the end of the day. The June at $142.75, up $2.67.5. Feeder cattle on the afternoon in the March at $2.52.5, up $3.55. April up $3.50 at $1.99.35 for the day. Lean hogs, all right, that's $199.50. April futures at $67, down $2.32.5. And the May contract in the lean hogs at $78.90. They were down $3 on the day. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. There you'll be able to buy your tickets for our all-day Ag Outlook. It is the 10th day of March at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Or you can just call this number right now, 217-333-7300.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Let's take a look at the outside markets at this hour. April crude oil at $66.97, down $2.35 for the day. And, well, that's actually the lean hogs for the day. That would not be right, would it? Well, the crude oil is trading at $48.75. That's down $2.25 on the afternoon. Heating oil at $2.13.5, just about unchanged for the day. Gasoline at $1.70.7, a penny and a tenth lower. And natural gas down 16.5 cents at $2.69.5. for the afternoon. Dow Jones Industrial Average on the day at 18,172, down about 22 points. Gold at $1,207, up $5.50. And the U.S. dollar up 1.11. That's at 95.35. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the Urbana-Champaign area. A 40% chance of snow, mainly before this afternoon, says the National Weather Service. It'll be cloudy and a high of 20 degrees. Wind chills between 0 and 5 on a north wind at 14 miles an hour, gusting to 20. Mostly cloudy this evening, a low of 4 below. Wind chills between 8 and 18 below. Northwest winds at 6 to 13. It'll be cold, so be careful out there. And Friday, sunny skies, a high of 13 degrees. Friday night, partly cloudy, and a low of 6 below. Again, wind chills of 9 to 14 below. That's because the winds will be light on Friday evening. And then Saturday, mostly sunny, a high of 23. The winds will turn to the southeast at 3 to 8 miles per hour. We'll have a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get closer to the bottom of the hour. Drew Lerner will be here from World Weather Incorporated.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
On this Thursday afternoon, the 26th day of February, Dan Zwicker joins us from CGB Enterprises. He hails from Mandeville, Louisiana, but is, at this point, I think, traveling across the great state of Texas. You're near Beaumont, is that correct?
Yes, that's where I'm at.
And how's the weather there today?
Beautiful today. We got sun, and it's a lot warmer. For those of you that are friends on my Facebook page, they saw that Waco, Texas got 4 inches of snow yesterday morning, but it was all gone by noon. That's a good thing about the South. If you get snow, it's gone by noon.
That's what I really thought about our part of the world, that mostly it was not gone by noon, but it was gone fairly quickly, although it seems to come and has been sticking around a little bit more the last few years here in the central part of Illinois. You get further north, where your hometown hails from, up near that Rockford and Rock Island area.
Quad Cities. Some more snow last night. Yeah.
That snow sticks around a lot longer up there, and then it makes it really cold, and there's quite a bit of snow cover, so we're going to have some really deep freeze temperatures. Does that have anything to do with the market rallying today, or are there other items that you've been watching?
Well, that's a good question. I was, beans up 16 cents, corn up 4 cents. Now, that's not the way it's supposed to go, Todd. Now, everybody's been talking it's supposed to go lower. Now, what are these beans doing at $10? I mean, I had fundamentalists tell me that we'd be $8 by now. And corn would be well underneath $4, $3.50 or whatnot. And, I think it's the fact that, prices are still not very profitable in corn. That's what keeps corn hanging in there. Farmers are still relatively tight holders. We did see some give up here toward the end of the month. We always see some of that at the end of the month. People need some cash drifts turned into March. And they didn't want to pay another month's worth of storage. But for the most part, they're relatively tight holders. Processors are having a hard time getting hands on their cash product. Exporters are having a hard time getting their hands on the cash product. They keep looking for a big push of farmer sales, and they just don't seem to come. Beans, everybody was all bared up for the South American crops to send this pricing soybeans into a tailspin. And then you get into trucker strikes and roadblocks and inability to move diesel fuel into the fields to harvest the soybeans. So we got that into the picture and stirring up the bean market, at least from a fundamental point of view. Cyclically and seasonally, I think the market is on track and doing what it needs to be doing. Coming out of that late January low, and then we, shifted into high gear a couple days there into February. And I just think the overall trend is higher as we go into the growing season.
Then when will it turn lower? Because I suspect it will at some point.
Well,
I mean, seasonally, how about seasonally?
If we're getting 4 inches of snow in Waco, Texas, and Tupelo, Mississippi got 10 inches of snow this morning, I can tell you the southern corn crop is not going to get planted next week.
That's true.
And we are March 1, and the South likes to start moving here. And start getting this stuff planted by middle part of March, no later than April 1. And I can guarantee you there ain't going to be no Delta corn planted in the next couple of weeks. And so I do think when we turn the corner in the next week, I think we will begin to hear some more chatter about the growing season. It's just something that we're going to move into March, and then we can start looking at weather forecasts 10 to 15 days out. And if they continue to show cold weather, wet weather, I think that's all going to start coming into play and help put a premium into this market.
Hey, can you take a look back last week? I know we talked about the acreage numbers USDA released at the Ag Forum on Thursday morning. They put ending stocks figures with those on Friday. Did you take a look at them? I know that's actually the case. And what'd you think of them?
Well, you know, they got to start somewhere. And that's all I view it as, a starting point. And this was mostly an armchair educated guess based upon price ratios and prices based upon cost production. And USDA World Board took the liberty to say, well, based upon prices and price ratios and whatnot, there shouldn't be that big a change. Because if you look at the corn-soybean ratio, I mean, we basically are in neutral category. I think anything in this 2.4, 2.3, 2.5, 2.6 is neutral. If you want to move acres to beans, you need to get them to 3:1. If you want to get corn acres, you got to go down to 2:1. And we've been basically neutral based upon the ratios. Now, the concern is that corn prices are not profitable enough, so farmers may move acres out of corn and into soybeans. That was kind of the case, too, for cotton areas in the South. They were going to move cotton acres out of into soybeans in the South, but cotton prices have had a nice rally trying to buy cotton acres back into the picture. So, you know, USDA is going to give us a survey number at the end of March, and that's going to be at least a better guide than I think this armchair guess is. I probably haven't talked to anybody that really feels comfortable with USDA's numbers. I mean, they're all skeptics because, you know, the word has been less corn seed corn sales and more seed bean sales. So the underlying story has been less corn acres and more bean acres. But USDA, for some reason, chose not to do that. And instead, they basically kept 4 million acres out of the major crops, which probably is a little large, you know.
Yeah, well, I suppose we'll see what farmers have to say. I know we will, in fact, on March 31st for the prospective plantings report. Hey, Dan, thanks for being with us, and safe travels today.
Okay, see you all next week.
Indeed. That, of course, is Dan Zwicker. He will be in the area next week and then the following week at our All-Day Ag Outlook. He's with CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Speaking of the All-Day Ag Outlook, you can buy your ticket right now at 217-333-7300 or online at willag.org. It's put together by Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming, and he's here, too, with a look at today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack told the Senate Agriculture Committee that he monitors the rate of sign-up for the new farm programs for crops on a daily basis. Vilsack said that just over 430,000 people, between 25% to 27%, who are eligible, have signed up for either the agricultural risk coverage or production loss coverage programs. Deadline for sign-up is March 31st. Vilsack did not rule out an extension to sign up, but said he is reluctant because, quote, it's like telling your kids they have another week to do their homework. Vilsack also says that a software glitch has been fixed. The International Grains Council says that global wheat production during the 2014-15 crop year will likely hit 719 million metric tons. That's 2 million tons higher than its previous forecast on January 22nd. The council says that wheat crops are mostly developing well and says it expects world wheat production in 2015-16 to decline by 2% to 705 million tons. The ICG maintained its view on global corn production in 2014-15 at 992 million tons. The government of Brazil and truck drivers' unions have reached an agreement meant to end the week-long protests by Brazilian truckers. But many drivers continued to block roads today, causing shortages of gasoline and other products. The Transportation Ministry said the government agreed Wednesday evening to avoid fuel price increases for at least 6 months, lower highway tolls, and suspend for 1 year the repayment of truck purchase loans made by the National Development Banks. Freight cost calculations will also be revised. Truckers had been demanding that they be based on the distances traveled to deliver goods and not on tonnage. But the president of the National Confederation of Autonomous Truck Drivers told reporters that despite the agreement, there is no guarantee that the protest will end, and the National Transportation Command, a truck drivers' movement, said on its Facebook page that it would continue blocking highways. Truckers began their protest on February 18th by blocking a highway in the soybean-producing state of Mato Grosso. Taco Bell says it will open restaurants in Japan. The only Taco Bells currently operating in Japan are located on restricted U.S. military bases. Foreign restaurant chains, such as McDonald's, Krispy Kreme, and Subway, are already all well-established in Japan. Both Burger King and Wendy's pulled out several years ago, only to return more recently. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. There you can order your tickets for our all-day Ag Outlook. That's not very far away now, March the 10th. It's a Tuesday, WASDE, World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate Day. Should be a great day at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Just $25 online at willag.org or call 217-333-7300 right now. Hey, speaking of Ag Outlooks will be tonight in Casey, that at about 6:30, because if you haven't already signed up for the meal, too late to do that, but you can still come. It's open. I'll have Merrill Crowley with me, Gary Schnitke to take up the farm bill, Sherman Newland and Jackie Vakes in Casey at the United Methodist Church around 6:30 tonight. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Well, you've probably heard talk about the new crop insurance product called SCO, or Supplemental Coverage Option. SCO is related to the new farm programs, but it's important to understand it's not a reason to choose one of the programs over the other, says University of Illinois Ag Economist Bruce Sherrick. This is how he explained it to an audience at a meeting this winter.
As was indicated, SCO is technically a crop insurance program. Don't confuse it with the decision of the Title I programs you have to make. After you make that decision, you might be eligible for SCO. Jonathan said don't go buy trucks based on our advice on this, but my advice is to think of them as very separable. Don't think about the crop insurance decision in order to choose which of your programs to take, especially just based on SCO. If PLC doesn't make sense ahead of time, you probably won't choose it just to get access to SCO.
SCO is not available to those choosing ARC or the Agricultural Risk Coverage Farm programs. It's best to simply think of SCO as crop insurance. Here's how it works. First, farm-level revenue does not impact the potential payment from SCO. And second, SCO will make payments more often than not.
SCO pays a lot. It pays in a lot of years. Just the way it works, it gets triggered a lot. But it doesn't necessarily get triggered in the years that you have a yield shortfall or a revenue shortfall, and it doesn't necessarily completely backfill your farm's revenue shortfall because your county and your farm aren't perfectly correlated. They're not the same thing.
Under good risk management practice, this means payments made should be put in the bank. This is because those payments may or may not be made in the years when they're needed. One other note, Bruce Sherrick says it's important for farmers not to substitute SCO coverage for regular crop insurance coverage.
Again, this is the biggest deal as you go, you know, toward the Dakotas perhaps, but we don't want you to buy down coverage to get the higher subsidy under SCO because your underlying coverage policy, the underlying policy's coverage also influences your preventive plan payments.
Only farms enrolled under PLC are eligible to use SCO. The Illinois Ag Economists believe most farmers will choose ARC, and that will throw out the SCO choice altogether.
tickets are going fast for the 2015 All-Day Ag Outlook meeting, and Todd and I hope to visit with you. We've got a stacked lineup. It's a WASD day, so you will get wall-to-wall coverage on corn, soybeans, cash grain, and whatever else you want to talk about. Chris Hurt will talk livestock for 2015. Murray Wise has the latest on land value trends. And Sue Martin will deliver a keynote. Cost for the March 10th meeting is $25 and includes a continental breakfast and beef house lunch. Get your tickets by calling 217-333-7300 or online at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Matt Bennett is in Phoenix today. He's at the Commodity Classic. We're trying to ring him up, but it's a pretty busy place there, and he may or may not be able to get to me. I talked to him just a little bit earlier in the day just to make sure we might get a chance to talk with him via the cell phone. Apparently, that's not going to be the case, so we won't worry about Matt at this point, but we will take a look at what happened in the weather forecast, because it's pretty important for the Urbana-Champaign area and for a good part of the Midwest tonight, tomorrow, and beginning into next week. It might be kind of a rough ride for today. In fact, a 40% chance of snow in our area. That'll come before 4 o'clock this afternoon. It'll be cloudy, a high of 20 degrees today. The wind chills between 0 and 5 above, northwest winds at about 14 miles an hour. They'll gust all the way to 20 today. And then tonight, cloudy skies, a low of 4 below. Wind chills between 8 and 18 below. Northwest winds at 6 to 13 miles an hour. Friday, sunny skies, a 13-degree high. Wind chills between negative 8 and 18 again. And northwest wind at 3 to 7. That's during the day on Friday. Again, sunny skies in 13. But we'll have pretty good wind out of the northwest at 3 to 7 tomorrow. In our area tomorrow, 8 to 18 below for the feels-like temperatures. And then Friday night, a low of 6 below. Wind chills of 9 to 14 below. Light and variable wind. Sunny skies on Saturday and a high of 23. Looking forward, sunny on Sunday, rather snow likely on Sunday, cloudy and a high of 33. Chance of precipitation on Saturday night into Sunday all day set at 70%. Sunday evening, mostly cloudy and 18. Monday, cloudy and 30. Tuesday, rain or freezing rain. It'll be cloudy and 40 degrees. And on Tuesday night, a chance of snow. It'll be cloudy and a low of 27. Wednesday, partly sunny skies and 33 degrees. So that's the weather forecast. Looks rather ugly for next week, so pay attention to that as we get into next week. The weather across the southern part of the globe has been much better, and as you'll hear from Drew Lerner in a bit, things aren't too terribly bad there, so he'll take that up just a little bit and, of course, look forward to what we've been seeing in the weather in our part of the world and have more details about what that'll be like when we get to the beginning of next week. Closing Market Report, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Tonight, I hope that you'll get the opportunity, while it'll be cold, to join me about 6:30 in Casey at the United Methodist Church. I'll be there with a panel of analysts and, of course, Gary Schnitke.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
It's National Pistachio Day. No one knows why the day is celebrated in February. Pistachios are actually harvested in the U.S. in September. It's said that individuals who stand among pistachio trees and hear ripening fruit pop open will have good luck and fortune. On this day in agricultural history in 1852, John Harvey Kellogg was born. He was a surgeon, vegetarian, and health food pioneer. While superintendent at the Battle Creek Sanitarium, he developed the first breakfast cereals for his patients, flaked wheat and toasted cornflakes. His brother, William W. Kellogg, founded the Battle Creek Toasted Cornflakes Company to produce cornflakes for sale to the public. In 1895, Michael Joseph Owens of Toledo, Ohio, patented an automatic glass-blowing machine that could make multiple bottles at the same time. It was a big advance in bottle making. He eventually founded the Owens Bottle Machine Company and the Libby Owens Glass Company. The company specializes in glass for aircrafts, cars, trains, and, of course, cooking utensils. In 1903, Richard Jordan Gatling died. Before inventing the Gatling gun, he was instrumental in agriculture. He developed a machine for sowing rice, wheat, and other grains, and invented a steam plow, what we would today call a tractor. He also invented a process for steam cleaning raw wool and a wheat drill. Much of the manufacture of Gatling's ag imports occurred in St. Louis. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is the 26th day of February, a Thursday. Mike Tenora at T-Storm Weather in Chicago is out of the office, but we did catch up with Drew Lerner earlier today from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City and asked him about the weather forecast because it's, well, cold and an odd one for February.
I'll tell you what, this weather pattern is just going to get more and more amazing as we go forward through these next several days. As if we haven't had enough, I think it looks like a surface high pressure center will be located tomorrow at dawn over the Nebraska, Kansas, Iowa, and Missouri border area, pouring another round of significant cold air into the heart of the Midwest. We'll see a lot of the precipitation end by that point in time, but we are going to see the skies clear off and temperatures back down near zero from northern Missouri, parts of central Illinois, central Indiana, northern Ohio, northward to the Canada border. Some negative teens in the upper Midwest will occur once again. As we move into the morning on Saturday, the coldest air will be over the eastern parts of the Midwest, with sub-zero readings expected again to occur across portions of Ohio and Indiana, as well as from northern and central Illinois northward to, again, the Canada border. That will be followed by, unfortunately, the return of some warmer air. Now, I say unfortunately because when you bring warm, moist air from the Gulf of Mexico into a cold air mass like this, it always results in a storm system of size, and that's what we are going to see from Saturday through Tuesday of next week. There will be a couple of disturbances that will move across the region. It's going to produce substantial amounts of precipitation across some of the hard red winter wheat country, which has struggled for moisture during much of the winter season, but we're going to see rain, freezing rain, sleet, and snow come in a couple of significant waves across the heart of the central and eastern Midwest, and will likely end up with some flooding near and south of the Ohio River because of melting snow and because of the new rain that's going to fall. Some areas could end up with 1 to 2 and local 3-inch amounts by the time we get to the middle part of next week. And we'll likely see snow accumulations run 3 to 7 inches and local totals over 10 inches. This will come out of portions of Kansas and northern Missouri up into southern Michigan and northern Ohio. And this will occur all as a dual storm system. It doesn't all come at once, but we're likely to see quite a mess evolve across the region this weekend and early next week. The temperatures will not be as cold. I guess that's the only consolation to all of this, but we will still see cooler biased conditions still with us all the way through the middle part of next week. Another quick drop in temperatures coming up as we finish out the middle part of next week. That's going to be because the byproduct of the cold high pressure center that will follow the snow and rain event across the region. That's pretty much enough for today. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Our thanks go to Drew Lerner for his update of the weather forecast. In about 20 minutes, I'll record Commodity Week. It won't be posted probably, I don't think, up to the website tonight, simply because I won't have time. By 4 o'clock, I need to be on the road to Casey, and hopefully we'll see you there this evening at the United Methodist Church around 6:30. Before that, if you've already signed up for the meal, that starts at 6, but come a little earlier if you want. I'll have along with me Jackie Vakes and Sherman Newland, as well as Merrill Crowley and Carrie Schnitke. That's tonight in Casey at the United Methodist Church. Open to everyone. Starts at 6:30. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.